Welcome to Finding Your Voice. I am your host, Per Bristow. I'm the creator of The Sing With Freedom, The Singing Zone, Speak With Freedom, Perform With Freedom, Peak Performance Mastery Training Programs, and other goodies. And here we are going to go deep into areas of voice, expression, communication, performance, releasing fears. Who are we really? How can we release what we are truly capable of in life? Get ready for some powerful conversations with some really fascinating people from all around the world. Welcome. I am here with an amazing human being by the name of Jason Gardner. So, and Jason is such an amazing performer. Many in the UK know him from various TV. He's a TV personality, has been a judge on Dancing on Ice and other shows, and you're known as a choreographer, as a singer. And now I'm actually catching you now right after your premiere week of your new one-man show In the Closet. And first of all, Jason, thank you for being here. Second of all, congratulations, because I've seen some of the reviews and it's absolutely amazing what you apparently have created here.
Thanks, Per, for having me. I mean, I'm just, I actually am pinching myself because I've gone from studying you and learning off you to meeting you in London at friend's gig for his solo, you know, album launch, right, and then lunch with you. And now I'm being interviewed by you after doing my one man show. I mean, it's insane, you know, and what people don't understand is I love the synergy of how life attracts the people to you that you need. Yes. And you came into my life because they discovered, you know, lumps on my vocal cords. And so I had an operation, and then you were part of that recovery process that I wasn't getting here from people. So when I discovered your workshop, and that helped me to, you know, they weren't sure if I was going to be able to talk, let alone sing. So that was a big process for me. I couldn't speak for 8 weeks. I didn't even know if I was going to get my voice back to talk. And they did really say to me, look, the chances of you ever being able to sing again are so slim. And I mean, you could imagine that was just like a knife, like a stake through my heart. And I thought, wow, okay, let's deal with the talking first of all. Let's not run before we can walk. And so then eventually the voice came back and I discovered you. And now, you know, fast forward like 6 years and I'm being interviewed by you because of everything that process gave me. So thank you so much.
Wow. Well, thank you, Jason. And I did not know this because we met in October and in London, and this is the first time I heard this from you. And wow, so talk about an amazing story of recovery here. And I really let's get into this because I want people to understand also what you did, not so much about me, but the mental process. I mean, like you were talking about, the psychological terror of not being able to have a voice. And here you are, you're dependent on your voice, your personality, right? So,
my livelihood. And so you have to think, what was the lesson that I had to learn? And do you know what it did teach me? When you can't speak and you really are not able to speak, because I was too scared that if I tapped my vocal cords together, as you know how they work, if they vibrated together after the recovery, I would have scarred them. So that's why you can't even listen to music, because your vocal cords vibrate even if you listen to music. Did you know that?
Well, many times also we sit with a lot of tension when we're not making sound, which is not helpful tension also, right?
Yeah. So they're under tension and the mind had to be completely relaxed as much as possible. So when I started building that back up, you know, it was really important that I got it right, you know, because I learnt in that process of not being able to have a voice, that when I got my voice back, to start choosing my words more constructively when I spoke and really listening more, because I got more out of people talking to me because I couldn't talk. I had to listen. And that was an amazing lesson for me to learn ultimately, was that actually listen to other people's stories. And then through listening to other people's stories and opening up that way, I started to piece together my own story and realize that actually there's so many universality in all of our shared experiences as human beings. But what we don't do is we don't use our voices wisely anymore. Mm. And that's the big issue. We don't communicate properly with each other anymore. We're almost feeling like many things, especially to do with mental health, that we feel as though you can't talk about these things still without people sort of, you know, feeling uncomfortable or thinking, you know, that you're a little bit crazy or loopy, or, you know, there's still a lot of taboo around this. But I think the more people talk about, you know, how we really feel, what the human experience is, then we'll be able to speak more clearly with one another, because that's what it's all about. I think it's about stripping away to your authentic self and finding your authentic voice rather than the one that's affected by tension, stress, anxiety, you know, masks, all of that kind of stuff.
Right.
So it's an amazing lesson to learn.
Yes, I can imagine. And is that what inspired you to create this one-man show then? Or where did that come from?
A lot of things. You know, it wasn't one isolated incident, but it was a series of many sort of life-defining events that happened and people that came into my life at certain times that gave me the sight that I needed to believe in what I was talking about, what I was feeling, you know. And what I talk about in the show is that, you know, I came from a time and a place where being the way that I was really not going to fit in with that particular society that I grew up in. And so it was very difficult with the bullying and a lot of the issues that come with that, and the ostracization and the humiliation, all those kind of things, and the shame and the guilt that you hold and carry as a gay man, you know, in a society that doesn't really understand or want to understand it, that is fear-based, really has a negative impact on you, because you end up carrying and being consumed with so much guilt and self-loathing. And then you're pretending, because until you come out of the closet and you're in the closet, you're hiding from your true self, because you know that it will upset a lot of people potentially in your life. So you become very good at the mask. Yes. Building this mask. And that's why a lot of gay men are super really great at what they do. You know, they're really super committed to their work. You know, they're very, very involved in their work. And a lot of them do incredibly well and are successful. But underneath the success, what's driven a lot of that success is because you can't just be good. You have to be great in what you do if you want to be in the same market as heteronormative people. And that, you know, that has permeated in a lot of our culture.
Yes, yes. And I talk a lot about this as far as this need we all have to fit in, to be loved. And for a lot of people, we grow up with the belief, with the idea that being quiet is a safer way to actually fit in, right? To not disturb the peace, to not offend anyone, right?
Yeah.
And that, but then as you have experienced, then that's not, then you have to be confined to something that you're not.
Well, it's called bottling up, isn't it, ultimately?
Right, right.
And as you know, the voice is an amazing way to experience and convey and communicate emotion.
Yes.
You know, and sometimes the sounds that it can make, you know, which is why singing is so amazing, because you can explore more of an emotive sound with the voice, right, rather than a communicative sound with speech.
Yes, yes.
But the range that a voice has when it's singing, and all that emotion that it can evoke, is powerful. So when you're not using that tool, which is an amazing gift that we have, that we can actually use and make this sound. And when you think, like, from opera singers down to like beatboxers, wow, that's all the voice.
Yes.
You know, the range of the voice is magnificent.
Yes.
You know, and so when you look at it like that and how integral it is to your identity, you know, people know who you sound like.
Yeah.
You know, it becomes part of your day. Oh, I recognize that voice. I get that all the time.
Yes. So here you are. So we're back there in October, and you are like what, 4 months away, right, from the how back then, not so easy. And everybody who's taking on a big project knows this. But I can imagine where you're doing a one-man show, and like you are really exposing yourself in a new way, right? Because you're already a celebrity and people have seen you in a certain role. And of course, this is now going to show a different part of you. But I mean, it's a beautiful thing. That's why I'm so admire the fact that you've actually done it. But tell me about the journey, because I'm sure it's not been easy.
You know, you're right. It has not been easy, but it's also been so incredibly rewarding. So I don't want to put people off the uneasiness of it. And part of being a creative is learning to live in the space of uneasiness. And I guess as a dancer, I started off as a professional dancer. So we learn to deal with like uneasy, uncomfortable positions of the body in order to, you know, break and mold them so that they can do incredible things, you know. But that process is painful. So
And
you
I love
kind
that
of,
you
you
say
know,
that. I love you that you say that. That's creativity.
it is creativity. And don't be afraid of the pain, because sometimes, you know, they say in, you know, physical fitness, no pain, no gain. Well, it's the same with like emotional stuff as well, because,
Of
you know, you
course.
can put that back into your work, and actually your work becomes enriched because of emotion, not because of a lack of it.
Right. Brilliant. And you've put
So
together,
when
yes.
I started the project, there was real uneasiness about it, because first of all, I was thinking, who cares? So, you know, the gremlins, all the gremlins start. No, you're boring. Who cares? Oh, it's self-indulgent. Who do you think you are? You're so vain. All those things are going on. You know what I mean? And you think, why am I doing this? And then somebody believes in you. It takes one person, one person. And I had Philip Foster, remarkable musical director, pianist. I mean, just musical genius, yeah. And he believed in me. He showed me belief in what I was doing, belief in my sound, and belief in my story. And that was all I needed. And then it was a collaborative process. Admittedly, we didn't have a deadline. So that's not necessarily a great thing, but it was a luxury, because normally I've always had to work to deadlines. And I'm not saying that the creative process is stymied, but it's definitely pressurized, and you don't have time to necessarily ruminate, which is why you can imagine big films and all that, they can take 10 years in the planning before they start, you know, with action. You know, it's incredible. But you understand that process. And because I didn't write this because, oh, I had to do a gig in, you know, 3 weeks, it wasn't cobbled together. So I thought, I'm going to tell a story, but I don't know what story it is that I need to tell yet. So I had to go back and over and look at my past. And I've not done that, Pear, for a long time. It's not my thing. I'm somebody that has always projectiled forward, if you know what I mean. But what I realize is, through doing this show, is that I was running from a lot of things from the past. And when I had to go back and face it in the closet, you know, I realized all these things came up, all these things that I'd suppressed, all these things that I had allowed to sabotage me in my adult life were really rooted in the experiences and the things that I went through as a child. And so that was mind-blowing, and that was hard. Sometimes I didn't know how I was going to actually continue with it, because I thought, I feel like so shit right now. Sorry for swearing, but I just felt so deflated and broken in some of those aspects, revisiting things, trying to make sense of stuff. But eventually, with this, you know, with Philip, he was so brilliant in that he didn't judge me. He didn't pressurize me. He just allowed me to feel. And then when you allow yourself to feel, you allow yourself to express. And that's where the voice comes in. And that was really, even after all the vocal physio, what really brought my voice back was when I stripped away to being authentic, to feel my feeling and really authentically express it. Then my voice was fine. Right?
Yes.
Wonderful. My voice was fine. What I was blocking was not anything physical. It's all emotional. And therefore my voice, which you know is emotively mechanized, really, if you think about it.
And you that's know, and you know, one of my favorite words is release, rather than control, which is what many of us, many people are even trained to adapt that mindset of control, right?
But it's not. No. It's actually about letting go because we work under such tension. You're so right. You know, and I didn't realize until I started doing all these prodding things that you get us doing and making all those sounds and, you know, and having a good old feel around there that I realized, my God, if this was a neck, I'd put it in for like a massage. It was so tense. You know, what I mean? You know, when you feel your neck, and oh my God, that is so tense.
Right.
And these were tenser than any other little muscle on my body.
Yes.
And I thought, my God, these poor guys don't get a, they don't get a break. And so it's really the tension that was creating so much of that emotional blockage. And then once you start to free everything up, but you have to free from the inside.
Yes.
You have to free from the emotional center.
Yes.
And that's the greatest lesson I learned from all of that time.
Amazing. So now that you've built up all this, the pressure, now that you actually did your first show, how did it feel?
Oh, God, that was one of the most surreal experiences that I will never forget for the rest of my life. To stand up there and hear throughout the show people laughing at some of my anecdotes because, you know, I was hoping they were funny. But, you know, thank God, so did the room. And then, you know, there are moments I didn't want it to just be razzle-dazzle, you know. Anybody can razzle-dazzle and have a good time. You know, that's great. And I love it. You know, I've made a career of razzle-dazzle, let's be honest. Yeah. But what I really wanted to do with this was to tell a story that felt authentic, that wasn't the persona that people know me for on a TV program that was very, very successful here for 15 years. And so I wanted to show a very, very real and genuine side and tell my story for a change because I've been very, very guarded about that. And now at 48, it felt like I'm ready to tell my story. I'm ready to share it. I've done the work. I'm ready to do it. I've found my voice first and foremost, you know, and through that process, I've now created a show that I'm really proud of the team of people that I have, and I'm really proud of the work that we've collaboratively done to bring this to this incarnation. Because, you know, it is only an incarnation. This is its infancy. You've been to the Crazy Cox, beautiful, stunning 1920s Art Deco cabaret room.
Yes.
Holds 80 people, you know, and actually it's really funny because I kind of felt bad in a way because part of the review was sort of saying that, you know, my show is too big for the venue.
Right.
You know, it's a bigger venue, which is exactly what I would like. But, you know, you've got to start somewhere. And that's the other thing. You know, we always want the end result immediately.
Yes.
But projects develop over time. And sometimes it's better to start and look at a project as phase one.
Yes.
So you complete something.
Right.
Because when you have a sense of completion with something, then it moves on or you move on. But if you're going for like, I think a lot of creatives are really guilty of this. We have the end result in our mind and we won't compromise until we get that. And so in the real world, where, you know, you're going to ask people for money to produce things at a high level, you have to, you know, you have to understand that there's a process that you can take things through. And as a creative, you should be able to adapt. You know, my first vision for this show, because I'm a dancer, you know, for first and foremost, was I wanted, of course, I wanted lots of dancers to join me on stage and big production numbers. You know, the macro version of the show was all bells and whistles Hollywood and Broadway, basically, all those influences. But this venue taught me to look at things on a micro level, and that's just as intricate and detailed, but it's really small. And what does small do? Like, how does that feel in that sort of space to, okay, let's not make it about the razzle dazzle, but let's, what have we got left? It's the story. It's the essence of the story. And so that's what I learned, is that all the bells and whistles mean nothing if people don't connect to the story or to what it is that you're trying to convey from a creative point of view. You have to know what you're trying to convey, because if you don't know, how the hell are you going to expect them to know?
Well, I think it's interesting because I read that review then that said that yes, you are bigger than that. But I also saw another review that said that you don't get this kind of intimate experience with someone at this high level. That's you normally just don't get that. So what a unique opportunity to have that, to be in a room. I can just imagine being able to have that experience from the audience point of view, right? And the way obviously you have stirred people's heart is pretty remarkable. But you could probably do that also on a bigger stage. I'm not saying that, but I mean, yeah, it's so, clearly people are very, very excited about it. I've seen it. So everybody, you should go to Jason's Instagram to start off with and then follow you and see your show when you're doing it more in London, and hopefully maybe you're gonna keep going forever. You're gonna be doing, who knows what where this is gonna go. But what I want to say is the fact that you've done it right there is something that we all could be extraordinarily inspired by. The fact that you, even though you have reached a certain level of celebrity status, this and that, you can do things. You have choices, but you have chosen to do something that is so personal to you because you want to release your voice, a new side of you, and that is so fulfilling to yourself, which you've expressed here. And I think we all could aspire to do that. But like you said, you've also the reason you can do it now is because of all the work you've done before, because you also have the skills to be able to do that. So you've got dancing in it, you're singing, you're telling stories,
Storytelling,
you're
you know,
funny
it's
apparently.
yeah. Well, the thing is, I know there's the title is it has two meanings for me. You know, in the closet, obviously, it's a term that we all know too well. It's when a gay man doesn't know that he's gay, but everybody else around him knows. Yeah, and you haven't quite come out. I talk about that part of it about that much. The rest of it, in my opinion, what that represented was I was hiding some very important, authentic stuff about who I really am. Okay. So everybody's in the closet. A lot of people are in the closet about who they really are, despite their sex, despite their race, their religion, despite their sexuality, despite any of that. On a human level, a lot of us are in the closet because we don't feel like we can be our authentic selves. So I thought that's the essence of the story here. That's what in the closet to me means. And I think everybody is in the closet about a lot of things about who they are. And what I'm saying is, I've decided to step out of the closet and share my in the closet moments in this show with others. And that has just been the most life-changing experience, because what I've gotten back from people and the response, you know, I meet everybody, because it's only 80 people that have come to see me in an intimate setting. I want to meet everybody after the show. So, yes. You know, I do. And to converse with people. And, you know, some people are still like crying by the time they get to me. And I think, well, have I just depressed everybody? And they're like, no, not at all. This was, you took us on such a ride. And I feel overcome with joy because you've helped me remember a lot of things that I'm in the closet about, that I'm not going to be in the closet about anymore. And this, I hope it's starting to help people become more in tune with their authentic self, yes, and find their voice. Because when you do that, it's amazing. It's amazing how it almost leads to permission for others to just open up and be their authentic selves. I think authenticity breeds authenticity. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And the more you are authentic, but with, you know, kindness, it doesn't mean to say, you know, you can go around and say and do whatever you want.
Right.
You've got to be considerate and compassionate. Mm-hmm. And that's where your authenticity comes from, because I think authentically, we are very compassionate beings.
Indeed, indeed. Beautifully said. You're such a role model. Amazing.
So are you.
And by
my
the
God.
And by the way, your voice sounds amazing, even though you've done several shows now.
Right. Thanks to you. That's vocal rest, or the vocal releasing that I do. I do it all.
That's
you
great.
Know, and it works. You know, some people, just on a level to you, Pear. I mean, I take my hat off to you, because you've connected spirituality and humanity with the voice. And not a lot of people are doing that. And you were the first person that took me on that journey. Mm-hmm. And what you taught me, nobody has really given me that in the way that you did. And I feel like I have such a kinship with you, because, you know, at one point it was every day I was with you, you know, working with you. And so you build up this virtual, you know, trust with somebody that, you know, you look up to, and you think, yeah, I resonate with this person. And I knew that one day I was going to meet you, but I didn't ever anticipate that you would be interviewing me. So look, anything can happen if you just believe.
Indeed.
You believe that, and you want it, and it will happen.
Yeah. Oh, Jason, thank you so much. And
thank
I had
you.
I had no idea that you were watching my videos. But that's also, but that has, I mean, just to follow up on what we're talking about here, this is what I wanted to do also. I wanted to release my voice, my knowledge, my ideas of how to do things, trying to help people, trying to inspire people in some way. What you're doing on stage here, I used to be on stage before, but now I've taken on, this is kind of my stage now.
Yeah, your world stage now.
Yes. And the same way, when you're getting the feedback from people when they come off stage and you've impacted them in some way, that's the same way I feel that I've done something, even though it's a virtual. Or, I mean, I do my workshops live also, but it's a beautiful thing to be able, if we can somehow impact someone positively, right? And that's what we're all here to do, really.
But there's very few people like yourself who are, in a way, you know, I'd go as far as saying that you're a light worker in what you do. You know, you spread light and joy into people's lives. You help people connect to their own light. You certainly did me when I was, you know, facing some very bleak realities that, you know, if I had have bought into, I wouldn't be here with a voice.
Okay, now I'm getting all teary-eyed. Jeez.
Hey.
Oh, wow.
It's the truth. So, you know, you cannot underestimate the power of what humans can do for each other. You know, and even when you don't even know that you're affecting people. Everything we say, think, and do, we're affecting people.
Yes, thank you. And for you who are watching this, listening to this, you are affecting someone with what you're doing, and that you are on the journey to release your voice, find your voice, find what you're all about, what's your passion, what is it that you want to do in this world, what you want to accomplish in this world. It's always a journey, right?
Yeah.
And Jason here, what you've done is amazing. What you out there are doing is amazing. And we can all impact each other. So Beautiful, Jason. I wish you all the best. Thank you so much
for
being on today. I'm so excited. I look forward to seeing you in action one of these days. And be well. Keep doing what you're doing, and keep inspiring people.
Thank you so much, Per. Thank you. Really. I mean, you've made my year. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye for now.
Take care, friend. Bye-bye.